tell you why I'm here. If we can turn to Colossians 3:16.
Let the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There is coming a day when no heartaches will come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, and no more pouting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
I think we're going to just turn it over to the preacher at this time. You and your family going to sing tonight? All right, good. Before he comes, a reminder to you, we're not going to be passing the offering baskets tonight. They are in the back at the end of the meeting tonight. I hope you'll just have a part in the offering, the love offering for Brother Spurgeon and for his family. And by the way, Evie has some pictures in the back there. If you haven't taken a look at them, she's got some beautiful photographs. She's a tremendous photographer. They're framed. It would be a nice addition to your home or your office. And this is her own little personal ministry, and she printed up some nice ones this afternoon and put them back there. So if you'd like to have one of those, you go back there. I think the prices are on them, or their prices are nearby there. And I hope you'll take those. All right. I'd like to buy all that she has, all right, before she goes home. All right. Come ahead, brother. It's all yours.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church on a Friday night. I don't think I've spent a Friday night at home for 20 years, and I'm glad I don't have to now. Only now I'm in church. Amen. I'm not going to do anything tonight. I'm going to be ashamed of tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything tonight. It's going to cause me to wake up in jail or hospital or my head in the toilet. Amen. Just be in God's house, God's people. Amen. Have a good time in the Lord. Well, it don't get any better now. There's people, there's thousands of people in the city that have been living all week for tonight. So have I. And I'm right where I want to be. And I'm glad you're
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to try to sing. And we did have a request. But we're going to sing anyway. Amen, amen. After 6 days, we're starting to get used to Dave Spurgeon's humor. Amen. What'd you say? Okay. Now, so we'll give it a try. I appreciate your prayers for us. And as you can see, concerning this portion of the ministry, we really need it. Amen. I do. I admit it. Appreciate that song, honey. The Lord yes. liked it. I liked it. We you didn't like it. You can either get right with God or me and you can go outside.
Amen.
Amen. Say, who is this guy? Don't worry about it. Amen.
Did you want to do that?
Yeah, let's try it. Let's try that. And as soon as I get here, it sounds terrible. So let's just do it anyway. Oh, I'll get it. We got to try, you know. Whole week go by, they got to hear it.
No, I tell you.
Okay. One more, can we try? Can you endure? Endure to the end. Amen. All right, now you heard this before, so you don't have to be trained on this again. So, but you got to pay attention and you got to participate. You got to help me out, okay? Amen. Nod your head. Amen. All right. And then, you know, the quicker you get with it, the quicker it'll be over. Amen. For my sake. Amen. So, but let's just let the Lord know that we're glad to be His. And we're glad to be in His house tonight. So let's give it a whirl. Help me out. Sing loud. Sing loud. Play loud. Do everything loud. Can I get a witness?
Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt? Stand up and testify. Let God be glorified.
Haven't we been blessed?
Can I get a witness?
All right.
I've got first-hand information.
Listen to what God's done for me. It's a remarkable transformation from what I used to be.
Once I was a losing sinner.
I was weak in my spiritual fitness, but by His grace I became a winner, and that made me an expert witness.
Can I get a witness?
Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again
without a doubt.
Stand up
and testify.
Amen.
Let God be
glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness?
The saints have gone before us.
They were tried by opposition, yet they testified with boldness. They were proud to be called Christian.
Like them, don't be ashamed.
Just live what you profess. Stand up in Jesus' name, because you've been called to be a witness.
Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house?
Anybody washed in the blood? Born again
without a doubt?
Stand
up and testify.
Amen.
Let God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt?
Stand up and testify.
Let God be glorified. Have we been blessed? Can I get a witness? Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness?
There's going to be a crown for you for putting up with that. Amen. All right. Thank you, ladies. Well, praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. It works for me. Well, it's been a good week for me. And I thank you for the privilege of letting me preach to you this week. I go places where I'm ready to leave by the second or third day. I don't. You know, I do my job, but it's not this easy. In other words, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's been liberty here this week, and I thank you for it. It's not hard to be in a place where people want something from the Lord, and it sure makes my job easier. And you made it real easy to be with you this week. Most places these days, they're running their meetings, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we've gone through Friday. And I commend you for your participation. We've had a pretty good crew every night. I know this is a busy place, busy city, a lot going on, jobs and just traffic, everything else. And I commend you for the support of the meeting. Now, whether he might not be happy, he'll let you know after I'm gone. But I'm pleased. I've been blessed. You've been encouraging, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the hospitality. We've had some wonderful meals. And I don't even know where they all came from. But the Lord does, and I thank you. And I pray the Lord will bless you in this church for your kindness to us. I feel that we made some friends here.
And that means a lot. That means a lot. You know what it means? It means I got the, like, the best job in the world. I get to travel around and be with God's people and, you know, yell at the ones that aren't right with God and rejoice with the ones that are, and sometimes see people that aren't right get right. Sometimes see people, like, you know, get saved. Anybody get saved this week? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Boy, and that's what it's all about. So thank you, preacher. Thanks for the privilege of letting us come. And so anyway, this is the last message of the meeting. But if anything has happened, like we preached earlier, anything happened that remotely resembles revival in your heart, and Brother Paul said it, revival is change, not just dirt. Stirring's an emotional thing, but a change indicates God's done something to rekindle. Amen. Amen. His spirit inside of you. And if anything was done in any heart during the course of any message, that doesn't end with the final amen. That'll go on. That'll last. That'll make a difference in you, in your family, in this church. And the exciting thing about that is, inevitably, that'll make a difference in this community. And that's what God's got you here for them. Because some of you were one of them. We all were. Some of you, it wasn't that long ago, you were outside looking in. And now look what God's done. And now you're in the church on a Friday night. Now you got your own kids trying to say, come on, Mom, go to church. That's a precious testimony. Boy, I'll tell you what. This is the best life I could have ever imagined. I'm not talking about being a preacher. I'm just talking about being a Christian. So, open your Bibles tonight and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 tonight, and let's read verse 9 and 10. Colossians 3, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, dear Lord, once again tonight, we come to you in the magnificent name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge here tonight that it is an honor to be able to call you Lord, not based on feeling, but based on what the Bible says. Lord God, I thank you for sending a man to a county jail many years ago to tell me that I had bigger problems than going to prison. For telling me what Christ did on the cross, the sacrifice that he made, the blood that he shed, he did to make a way for me to get the sins that were going to take me to a devil's hell forgiven. And Lord, as I look back and recall and review that circumstance and that time in my life, it is a miracle that I acknowledged what that preacher said. Surely it was an answer to a mother's prayer. But I'm glad for the day I did what the Bible says every man, woman, boy, and girl shall do. The book says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, I'm glad I did it while I was alive. I'm glad I did it in time to have my sins forgiven before I paid the price for them myself. Lord God, I thank you tonight for your grace, your liberty, and the privilege to preach here tonight. What a thing. God bless the message. There is needs in this building tonight that I don't know anything about, and I couldn't do anything about them if I knew. There's folks in here probably that aren't saved. I prayed save them. There's folks in here that are struggling. I pray that they look to you and lean on you for victory. There's folks in here that need to turn their eyes from the world to you tonight. Father, there's needs and you can meet them, and we ask that you prepare hearts even now that we might allow you to do what only you can do. Bless those that have come. Bless those that could have come or wanted to come and couldn't. Bless those that should have been here. Convict their heart. I love you, Lord. Bless the service. We pray and ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now you got two men referred to in the passage. And one of them's called the old man. And one of them's called the new man. And he says this, he says, put one off and put one on. Now here's how this thing works. The Bible teaches by three basic methods, repetition, comparison, and contrast. And what the Lord does on many occasions in the course of the Word of God, He'll contrast, the Spirit of God will contrast men so that you can get some insight. And so that you can see the point he's trying to make. I'll give you an example. Cain and Abel. All right? You know the story of Cain and Abel. Amen. One was obedient, one wasn't. Two men being compared. One had God's favor, one saw God's wrath. Simple story, black and white. God does it like that in a book so that we can get it. This isn't deep. This isn't hard. This isn't theology. The Bible is written to you and I so that we can see it, so we can understand it, so we can get the point. We don't need somebody telling us what it means. We need to open it with an honest heart and let the Holy Spirit tell us what it means. I understand rightly dividing, and I'm all for teaching, but I'll tell you what. Mankind's got a way of complicating stuff that God never made complicated. Amen that. Right? So, Cain and Abel, there's a good comparison of two men here. Here's another one. David and Goliath. We got talking about David and Goliath the other night. And when I got done, we got back to the motorhome. Evie, she is grinning and she said, you really like talking about David and Goliath, don't you? She could tell. She's with me all the time. See, I was getting into that. I was looking up Goliath, how tall he was and how much his stuff weighed. And boy, that one guy full of faith knocked him. Hey, it ain't about size. It's about heart. Amen. That's true. But you got a comparison there. One was working for the devil. Amen. He got his head took off. And one was doing battle in the name of the Lord. Comparison between two men. When I heard the gospel preached the first time in the county jail in 1990, Pastor Gresham preached out of Luke 16, and he preached the passage that compared the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man, by the world standards, had it made. He had his rich, okay, let me think. The Bible said he was dressed in fine linen. The Bible said he fared sumptuously every day. And most people in Israel at that time weren't doing either of those things. He had it made in the outside, outside of his property, laid at his gate. If he had a gate, he probably had a fence connected to it. Laid at his gate was a beggar who obviously wasn't eating well, faring sumptuously every day, wasn't dressed in fine linen, clothed in purple. And he didn't even have his health. That book says he had to be laid at the rich man's gate. He was lame. He was full of sores. He didn't have anything to financially, health-wise, he was a mess. But those two guys had something in common. Same thing you and I got in common. Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. And they both died. And the passage records, they both died. And angels carried old Lazarus off. The guy that didn't have anything going in this world, the angels came and got him. And the rich man, the guy that by the world's standards was successful, the Bible records he lifted up his eyes in hell. That's a comparison of two men. And nobody in their right mind would be more concerned with succeeding in this world and end up in hell. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The answer to that is simple enough. I can answer it. Nothing. But that's what most people are trying to do. Gain the world or some little piece of it and give very little thought to their soul. And boy, you don't want to lose that. Boy, and everything you could possibly accomplish in this life wouldn't be worth losing your soul. You die without Jesus Christ, that's what's going to happen. That's not my opinion. That's what that book says. There's another comparison, just for tonight's sake, another comparison in Luke chapter 18. Two men. One's a Pharisee. One's a publican. One's a religious guy, and he's looking down on the regular guy, like us, looking down and saying, thank God, you know, I'm not like this. Not like this guy. I do all these things. I give. I tithe. I pray. He does all these things. I'm not like this heathen. And boy, the Bible says that the publican wouldn't so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he left justified. And the other guy, that religion took him to hell. Comparison. God was more pleased with the guy that was honest. Said, you're right. I'm a mess. I'm nobody. I need you. That's what God was impressed with. God uses men. The Bible uses men. Holy Spirit brings up these examples of men, contrasts them. And like David and Goliath and Cain and Abel and the rich man and Lazarus were very different, so are the two men in our passage tonight. It said this, put off the old man and put on the new man. The old man, that's the nature that you had before you got saved. And if you're in here tonight, that's the only nature you have. If you're saved, you now have a new nature. And it's up to you which one you're going to put on, which one you're going to put off. Let me say it like this. Up until the day you got saved, this old man here was in uncontested control of your life. He ran the show. He had no opposition. Amen. The old man, he's known in the Bible as the carnal man, the physical man, the flesh. Well, I'll give you a little tip here. For those of you that are saved, the longer the old man was in charge, the harder he'll fight to stay in charge. I was almost 38 when I got saved. Things didn't fall off overnight. Amen. The old man still wants to be in control. And that's why the Bible says here in another place is You need to put that guy off. You need to put that guy off. You need to put on the new man. In other words, you need to feed the Spirit of God spiritual things. The right kind of fellowship, right kind of music, right kind of preaching, the right book. And get away from the stuff that hurts and feeds the one that wants to do what it wants. The Bible says, and I think we quoted this verse last night, Galatians 5, verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Now, the new man, the old man was in control before he got saved. The old man still wants to be in control, even if you are saved. But the new man needs to be in control. And here's why. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, "Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So you got two men. And he says, put off the old man and put on the new. And the old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And the new man, Spirit of God inside of you if you're saved. The new man is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Well, you mark it down tonight, beloved. God's much more pleased with the new man. And when he said in Genesis, "Let us create man in our image," he wasn't talking about the old man. He sure wasn't talking about the one that was corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, like I said, and you know, I got saved in jail 17 years ago. I was almost 38. I was involved in organized crime in outlaw motorcycle gangs for 15 years. Amen. I'd buried 41 of my own guys. I'd seen well over 100 go to prison, and I was on my way. And boy, the preacher came, and like I said in the prayer, showed me I had bigger problems than prison, and showed me from the Bible, not an old wives' tale, not what Grandma said, not some story somebody used to scare little kids about hell, showed me from the Bible that hell is a real place. Not like Hollywood portrays it to be. Not like MTV would like for you to believe it is. Some place where there's going to be a party. The party in hell has been canceled due to the fire. I like that. Bible says it's a place of torment and flame. Bible talks about a lake of fire. Bible talks about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. No party. Preacher came in and said, you know, if you die in your sin, you're going to go to this place. And I remember thinking, thanks. Thanks for cheering me up. I'm already looking at 37 years in a penitentiary, and now you're coming in and telling me this. Thanks, I appreciate it. But to be honest with you tonight, I thank God that he sent a man to me with the guts to tell me the truth. Because that's the truth according to the Word of God. The Bible said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And my stinking pride and hard-headedness and not being man enough to respond to an invitation to get my sins forgiven after the preacher showed me also from the Bible what the Lord Jesus Christ did to make a way for my sin to be forgiven. He put it out clear and simple. Book says Christ died for your sin. I didn't respond. Yeah, I left thanks. I didn't want him to think he got through to me. That's pride. That's the kind of foolish pride that puts people in hell. But I didn't. I had to go back to myself. If I'd have heard a message like that, and I never would have on the street, but if I'd have heard that kind of message without being locked up, and I'd have went back to my life, it'd have been gone. The Bible says Satan cometh immediately and steals the word. But he didn't get a chance to. I went back to my cell. So I'm stuck with this message of hell in my head. It was a good thing, too. It took me 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Before I took an old King James Bible Brother Gresham had sent to me and laid it on the floor in my 5x7 cell, and I knelt down next to it and I prayed like this: God, if this book is true, that's what I said. If this book is true, I got bigger problems than I thought. I wasn't down there like this. I just knelt down and I just talked to God like maybe he could really hear me. That works still. That's why you ought to talk to God, because he can. And I said, Lord, you and me both know I'm a sinner. That preacher showed me hell's real, and I know, you know, that's where I'm going, and I deserve to. I was honest. I was that honest with myself. And I said, that preacher also told me that your son went to the cross to make a way for my sins to be forgiven. Mine. They were many. Where grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. And the best way I knew how, and I didn't have some prayer, and I didn't even have the benefit of a preacher to help me or to pray with me or anything, but the best way I knew how, from an honest heart, I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And I said something like this: Lord, please come into my heart and take control of my life. I heard a preacher say one time, you can't get saved by asking Jesus into your heart. Worked for me. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, you got to say this, or you didn't mention the blood, da-da-da. God looks on that heart. Amen. That's what we do. We complicate it. Boy, I tell you what, with an honest heart, God's hearing. And I asked him, I said, I don't even know why. I look back and I think, I asked him to come into my heart a minute. I needed something in there. I needed a change. I didn't sit there and say, I didn't get out and make a bunch of problems. Oh, if you get me out of this trouble. I didn't even ask that. I never expected that. I should be in penitentiary now. And I didn't make a deal with God. This all had to do with one issue. I didn't want to go to hell. I thought I was a tough guy on the street, but I was willing to admit I wasn't tough enough for that. Besides, every morning, for about a month I'd been in there, every morning I'm waking up and I got a rude awakening of where my control of my life had landed me. And every day I'm waking up on this. I mean, they didn't even give me a pillow. I'm in a 5x7 cell. I'm in a lockdown. I started a little riot. That's the only way you can get a private room. Got a little old in there after a couple weeks, but at least it was quiet. But one day God got in there. God got in there with me, and he saved me. And I asked him to take control of my life. And I meant it. That Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new man. And what that involves is letting God have control of your life. Amen. He saved my soul, and He'll save yours if you're not. If you'll go to Him with an honest heart and get a hold of this thing, you got a problem. You got a sin debt you cannot pay. No way. If you could, God would owe you entrance into heaven. My family and I studied that in devotion in Romans 4 today. God would owe you heaven if you could clean it up yourself. But you can't. And He doesn't owe you a thing. But, buddy, He's got a boatload of grace. And He'll let you in on that if you'll swallow your stinking pride and get a hold of the fact that without Him, you're doomed. Amen. And I don't care what you got going for you in this life. This life's flying by. And I prayed the Lord would take control of my life. I found a verse. I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I got a pretty good life now. I live in a Winnebago with these lovely ladies. I get to travel all the time. I got the best friends in the world. And heaven too. Boy, I'm glad I gave Him control of my life. How about you? How about you? Have you given Him control of your life? See, I didn't realize. I just thought after being preached to about what Christ went through, the beating, the betrayal, the mock trials. Where was the ACLU for Him? Found innocent and sentenced to death for it. The beating, the scourging, the mocking, the crucifixion. Boy, when a preacher showed me from the Bible what the Lord Jesus Christ went through to make a way for my sins to be forgiven, and I got this vivid picture of a lake of fire, I mean, it wasn't a hard choice. I mean, I'd been a dope addict for 20 years, a drunk for 20 years. I'd been drying out and sobering up in a jail cell for a month. Might have been still a little foggy, but it wasn't that hard of a choice. And I prayed and I asked the Lord to take control of my life. Right there, day one. It just made sense to me. I thought I owed it to Him. See, I wasn't in a church. I had no idea that thousands of Christians will pray and admit they're a sinner. And Bible says if you'll believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I have ministered personally to thousands of Christians that no doubt are saved. But I don't think it's ever occurred to some of them to let God have control of their life. So you can sit in church year in and year out and grow very slowly in the grace and knowledge of the Lord while your pastor and preachers like me come in and try to preach holiness out of this book to try to convince you to let God have control of your life. This is not rocket science, beloved. Doesn't it make sense that He might do a better job than you are? We'll claim to have trust Him with an eternal soul and hold on to this life with everything we got. And slowly through the years, through the preaching, through Holy Ghost conviction, sometimes through rough stuff, sometimes through tragedy, God is talking. Look, if you just let go, man, I could do much. And then we give testimony. Oh, thank God. And you find out, well, they've been in church 25 years. You're finally letting go. Good for you. I mean, God has got to be up there going, what is taking them so long? Put off the old man and put on the new man. You know what that involves right there? This is what I'm going to preach on. Oh, yeah, I'm not preaching yet. I'm still sharing. That involves a what? A change of management. You ever go by a restaurant, you go in and it looks nice, but it's terrible. Cockroaches, I don't want to get too graphic. And then you think, boy, I'll never go back in there again. Then you go by and the place is under construction. You see the sign, under new management. And you think, well, maybe we'll give it another try. That's what we're supposed to be. If you're saved here tonight, your eternity's settled. But if it says put off, that means you got to do that. If it says put on, that means something's required of you. We want everything to be like salvation, where Christ did all the work. Well, he did what we cannot do. But it's reasonable that he expects us to do a little. Boy, we like to shout from the rooftops that we know we're not saved by works. And we're not. But the same place, the same passage, the same chapter in Ephesians that says, not of works, lest any man should boast, says that we're his workmanship created unto good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Well, if you're going to have any good works, you're going to have a change of management. I see Christians, I preach to Christians all the time, and hey, I got no grudge, I got no problem, I got no axe to grind, I got no personal agenda, man. People are very kind to me generally. Amen. I'm a man. You know, I can take it. If you don't say hi to me, I'm not going to cry. Amen. My girls are tough. But I keep dealing with Christians, and some of them, man, they claim to be saved, but I look and I see there's been no change of management. There needs to be. The Bible says, put off the old man. Put on the new man. Now, it's a struggle. Flesh lusts against the spirit. It's not magic. It's not automatic. But with God's help, it's more than possible. With God's help, it isn't even that hard. I'm gonna give you three things. Three things, and then, you know, so that we don't go out and leave on the last night with a negative connotation. Or what we'll do is I'm going to give you three things, and you examine yourself compared to these three short I love saying that, three short points, and maybe you'll see that you are under new management. Three things that may be indications that the Holy Spirit's gaining some ground, even though we acknowledge it's a struggle. Amen, okay? So, I'm not going to beat you up anymore. I don't think. Am I? Turn to Colossians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Colossians. I don't care. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Preaching. Amen. Man didn't invent it. God invented it. If it looks foolish to you, maybe I'm doing it right. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but on us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 21, For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Romans 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Number one indication tonight that you may be under new management, that the new man is at least gaining some ground, is if you come to the place where you no longer rebel at the preaching of God's word. It says preaching is the power of God, not sharing, not teaching, not singing kumbaya together. Well, there's a lot of that going on. Not psychology. Amen. Not counseling. Preaching. It said it's the power of God. Now, there's a lot of folks that enjoy coming to church for a lot of things. I like the music. Do you like the music? Carlo does. Anybody else? Okay. Amen. Come on, this is Southern preaching. I'm from Southern Ohio. Give me a break. You got to respond once in a while. There's a question mark just to see if you're awake. I like the clean atmosphere. The places I hung out for 20 years didn't look like this. Didn't smell like this. Weren't lit like this. I like coming here. This is a clean place. Amen. I like the testimonies. I like people talking about what God's doing. I like that stuff. A lot of people like that stuff. But if the old man is in control, or you're under old management, you can like all that stuff and still not like preaching. Something seems to happen sometimes in some people's lives, hearts, continents, whatever, when you step in the pulpit after all the prayer and test and say, open your Bible, and we can see a change take place. And some people, when the preaching starts, people that don't mind singing, don't mind being, don't mind giving, sometimes when the preaching starts, the guard goes up. The defense goes up. There's people that have made a habit out of going to church because it's a good thing to do. Millions of Americans go to church. A lot of people go to church because it's the right thing to do, but they got no intention of letting anything upset their apple cart, of letting anything change the way they live. And preaching will challenge you. Preaching will tell you what you shouldn't be doing or what you should be doing. You know what? The old man hates that. I mean, let's face it. It is human nature to hate being told what to do. It just is. I can look around the room and see that some of you my age or older, like the preacher, you remember the 60s, you remember the rebellion. Some of us made great rebels way back then. Some of us have gotten saved. And we still make great rebels. If the old man gets back in control, Because let's face it, people don't want to be told what to do. That's why there's churches all over America, and you can go and sing and just hold hands and dance in the street, and you'll never be challenged about your sin. Because people don't want that. I want it. I need it. One day I got honest with God and admitted that I was a sinner and acknowledged what that Bible said was going to happen because of my sin, and it's no small deal. Therefore, what Christ did to take care of it was no small deal. And I don't ever want to go back to where I'm not thankful. And if the Bible says, unto us that are saved, preaching is the power of God, that's what I want. I don't mean I like it all. I like it when other people get preached at, just like you do. And then I kind of wince when it hits home. But as the new man started to gain control, instead of going that way, mad, I started coming this way. We give altar calls, and sometimes we'll say this, don't let worrying about what somebody else around you thinks. If you get up and come down and pray, don't let that keep you in your seat if the Spirit of God is dealing with you. I'm for people coming to the altar. I'm for that. I know you can get right anywhere, but beloved, some of the most precious times I've ever experienced as a Christian have been at the altar of a little church in Ohio when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me so clearly that I wanted to get up and publicly come down and pray, not to impress anybody. But I wasn't going to be kept in my seat because I was worried about what other people thought. I didn't worry about what people thought when I was lost. So we'll say that sometimes. Don't worry. Don't let what other people think keep you in your seat. If you need to pray, pray. And I know you can pray in your seat. I know that. But here's what I come to find out. A lot of people aren't responding to an altar call. It isn't because they care about what anybody thinks. It's because they got no intention of changing anything. No matter what the preacher says, no matter what the Bible says, no matter what the Holy Ghost says. I'm just going to help you with that tonight. If that's your case, you're under old management. I didn't say you're not saved. But you need to do what the verse said. You need to put off that old man and put on the new. The new man loves preaching. Spirit of God, because it's the power of God, likes singing, likes the testimony, likes all the other things. Like the fellowship. I like God's people. Amen. Some of you are a little strange, but I like you. We left the church one time, and I said to my wife, I said, well, those people were kind of strange. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, everybody's not, you know, perfectly normal like Dave Spurgeon. And I said, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I love God's people. I really do. Boy, I tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than any difference we got. The new man loves preaching. New man likes all the things about church and the Bible. But he really likes preaching. He loves it. Tell you what, if you come looking for something from God, you'll find it. If you come with a right heart, prayed up, you want God to speak to you, it doesn't matter what the preacher's preaching on. Holy Spirit will give you something. Our problem is, if you're under old management, and boy, as soon as he says, turn here, and then you got the old message, oh, well, he's going to preach on this again. Boy, I've heard this. Boy, I wish this guy shut up. He takes too long. He's too loud. He's too gruff. He's too ignorant. Whatever. Listen, if you come with a bless me if you can attitude, I can't. That's not what I'm trying to do. But God would like to. Whose management are you under? Boy, if you'd come, say, God, if there's something in my life that needs attention, if you show me, I'll deal with it. You'll find that sometimes God will. And he'll hold you to your word. But if you'll come with that attitude, you'll find out you'll enjoy your Christianity much more. You'll get blessings out of the preaching, out of the testimonies, out of the singing. Amen. You'll see the things that Brother Pat brings out in the verses of those precious hymns. You'll see them yourself if the new man's in control. Some of you must look at him and go, what is up with this guy? I'm going to tell you what's up. It ought to be up with all of us. So whose management are you under? Number one tonight, you might be under new management. The new man might be gaining some ground if you look forward to the preaching, if you no longer rebel at the preaching of the Word of God. All right, that's number one. Number two, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 14, the Bible says this, but every man is tempted. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you got lust, sin, death. LSD. Bad formula, amen? Nothing new under the sun. You might be under new management tonight if you no longer lust after things that God has said for you to forsake as a Christian. Now here's what lust means. Longing desire, eagerness to possess or enjoy, or inordinate desires. It goes like this. See something and you gotta have it? You don't need it? You can't afford it? You can't justify it? You don't care what it takes to get it? You get obsessed with wanting it? It don't matter if it's a new computer, a big screen TV, new car, doesn't matter. You lust after something and you get this gotta have it mentality, that's lust. That goes beyond reason. And I'm going to tell you what, when a person gets saved, that's an attribute of the old man. I said to my wife that about getting a new computer, now she's looking, I can't believe I said that. I've given her ammunition to use against me now. That couldn't have been the Lord. To forsake things that the flesh craves or loves or lusts after is not easy. But the new man in there, with the new man in there, there ought to be a desire to forsake things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let me give you an illustration. We were talking about when you get saved and God starts to work, starts cleaning up your life, and like I say, the longer you wait, the more junk there is to clean up. And all them years of dope and liquor, God took away just like that. Just like that. No 12 steps, one step. I stepped down into the presence of God. He saved me. And he took away all the liquor, all that gone. Of course, I was in jail, so that helped. Been in jail for a month, that helped. But by the grace of God, brother, I never went back to it. I was in jail another month, and I made bond and never went back to it. Cussing, man, I mean, I could make a sailor blush. Terrible language. And God did a work in remarkably quick time, helped me clean up my mouth. Boy, when I first got saved, boy, they say, anybody got a testimony? My hand went up every time. I wanted to thank God I was saved. Never did a request for a testimony go with no answer. Because if nobody's going to say nothing, I'm going to stand up and say, thank God I'm saved. I just think he's worth that. But I think in the early years, when the preacher would say, David, people would reach over and put their hands over their children's ears. Because nobody knew, and I didn't know either what I might say. God was merciful. But smoking was unbelievably hard for me. I was ashamed of myself. I got victory over. God gave me victory over dope and alcohol. And I couldn't put that stinking cigarette down. I was ashamed of myself. I was ashamed of what I was doing to my testimony. I never wrote it off. I never just said, well, that's just the way it is. I'm just going to smoke. I smoked for 23 years. I'm going to smoke. And that's just, you know. I hated it, brother. I'd come to the altar and I'd pray. And I'd ask God to help me. And I'd say, God, just asking you to help me quit makes me want to have a cigarette. And I'd buy them, smoke one, grieve the Holy Spirit, throw the whole pack out the window. Well, I'm glad they're a lot cheaper than they are now. The Bic lighter, you know, I should have got a couple tickets for littering. Maybe that would have helped. But it bothered me. And we got a guy in our church. He got saved, and I didn't like the guy from the get. I didn't like him. I just didn't like him. I don't know why. I didn't like him. I'm a pretty good judge of character, to tell you the truth. I might have been young in the Lord, but I've been out there on the street for a long time. And this guy was a clown, and I don't like clowns. And this guy comes to prayer meeting one night. Me and the pastor and Brother Gresham were there. He says, I just want to say I quit smoking the day I got saved after 40 years or something stupid. I didn't like him already. But I really didn't like him after he said that. Because I was struggling with him, man. I had people praying for me. And then he said this. I don't believe a person that's really saved could smoke a cigarette. And I don't know about you, but here's what came into my mind. His name was Roger. I thought, Roger? I could take you out back and show you that a man that's really, really saved could punch you right in the teeth while smoking a cigarette. Really saved. Amen. The circus left town and Roger left with it. Amen. I knew he was a jerk. An indication that the new man may be gaining some ground is that you feel guilt or uneasiness when you think or say or go or do something that you shouldn't. Don't ignore that sense of guilt or it's called Holy Ghost conviction. It's a good thing. It's God trying to say, hey, dummy! That's how he talks to me. I don't know how he talks to you, but that's how he talks to me. It's an indication that the new man may be gaining some ground. Boy, that's what you need to do as a young Christian. Boy, you don't understand, you know, but it's something. It don't seem right. I wonder if this would be okay. If you ever got to ask yourself about something you're listening to, about somewhere you want to go, about something you're going to wear, I wonder if this is okay for Christians. If you got to ask, here's my suggestion. Don't go anywhere near that thing until you find out. God's not gonna judge you for wanting to please him too much. We go the other way. Oh, well, let's see what happens. That's old man. Ask your pastor. You have a question about something's right or wrong, ask your pastor. He'll tell you. He'll tell you according to the Bible. Not his opinion. You know what we do, though? When we want to do something that's contrary to the Holy Spirit, something where the old man's in charge. You know what we do? We ask everybody but him. We find somebody to call in because we know they'll agree with us. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's the old man in charge. Because the new man really does want to forsake things that grieve the Holy Ghost. That's called growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Number one, no longer rebel at the preaching. Number two, no longer lust after things. I didn't say we don't still struggle. I struggled. But no longer lust. In other words, I don't care what anybody thinks. Did you hear that? That's what lusting is. You don't care what God thinks. That's old man in charge, see? We're supposed to be sensitive to the voice of God, to the Spirit of God. Last of all, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. Go ahead and turn there. That gives me a chance to get a drink. If I was really thirsty, I'd say, go to Zephaniah. You'd be going to the table of contents, and I could drink this whole glass. Now, if you're right with God, you know I'm joking. And if that offended you, the old man's in charge. You hear me? I mean, I enjoy my Christianity. How come you're not? If you're not, amen. Amen. Looks I'm getting from some of you, I'm going to take my glasses off again. Because I can't see Carlo if I take my glasses off. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm almost done. Verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul had a burden for other people to be saved. And you might be under new management if you have a burden for other people to know about your Savior. When you start seeing people as hell-bound souls, like God does, like He saw you before you got saved. I was preaching in Norfolk, Virginia. I had to drive from Virginia Beach into the inner city, preaching to work there. And the girls, I had three daughters then in the car, and my wife, and they're singing. They didn't need me to help them then. Amen. And they're practicing, and I'm Mr. Spiritual. I'm prayed up, man. I'm going to preach. I got a suit on. I'm in uniform. I'm driving down the road, and this car got this music playing. They're singing, rather. And I'm feeling real spiritual, and this car pulls up next to me on the freeway. I look over. This guy, he's got hair sticking up on this side. It's purple, like a chicken. Over on this side, it's orange. I'm driving down the road, you know, thinking, oh, well, Lord, just bless this church tonight. And I take a double take. The guy's face, it looks like he tripped and fell face first into my tackle box. He had stuff stuck all in his face. Tackle box, that's, you know what I... And here's what, Mr. Spiritual, here's what went through my mind. Yuck! You never were like that, were you? I'm going to tell you, I don't know how God got that spear through that windshield without breaking it. But boy, about the time I judged that guy for looking so bad, it was like, ooh. And the Spirit of God said, who do you think you are to judge anybody? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, an indication you might be under new management is if you start seeing people like God does, without hope and without God, and not just people that are repulsive to you. We're in Cape Coral. I think it was Cape Coral, Florida. We're down there preaching on the street 9 o'clock at night. No, it's Coconut Grove, because the place was full of coconuts. I'm serious. 9 o'clock at night, the buyers, the music, everything, people walking the street, and we picked the place out in front of a bank, right at a point, bank's closed. We're doing it right. We're not obstructing any business. We're preaching, handing out tracts, and I turned, I could feel somebody walk up next to me, and I went to hand him a tract. And the guy looked like Jack Patterson's little brother. The guy was about 6'6", big guy, and I took the tract and I went, "Can I give you something to read?" This big old guy, he looked down at me and he said, he's got a beer in his hand. He says, "I think you guys, there's about 8 of us down there." He says, "I think you guys are a bunch of sissies." And I didn't know, but he'd been working his way through the other preachers. And this guy knew he is good at intimidating people. That's what he did. I know the type. I ran with that type. He didn't intimidate me. He was about 28. He was a kid. He says, "I think you guys are a bunch of sissies out here hollering about Jesus." I looked up at him and I said, "No, you don't. That's not what you think." I could tell by his expression that's not what he expected. He goes, "Yeah, I do. And I'm cleaning this up for your sake." He says, "I think you guys are a bunch of sissies." I says, "All right. That guy that's out there on the little point there preaching, he's going to be done in about 1 minute. And I'm next. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Big boy, I'm going to let you go in my place." And he looked at me and I said, "You go out there, you take about 3 minutes, and you let this crowd know what you love more than anything in the world. You just stand out there and just let them know. Just maybe it's your little Budweiser. Okay, go stand out there and tell them." And the guy looked down at him and he said, "Are you crazy?" And I said, "Now who's the sissy?" His friend said, "What right do you have to cram your religion down our throat?" And if he only knew that at that moment, that thought crossed my mind. Cramming something down his throat. He was mean-spirited. He said, "What right do you have?" I said, "Look, as far as I know, this is still America. And I got as much right to proclaim the gospel as you got not to like it. So you can have a nice day. See you later." But he is drunk. He wanted to talk. I hate it when drunks want to talk. I hated that when I was a drunk. I said, "Okay, let me help you with this, pal." I said, "You see that building across the street? There's an apartment over a store." I said, "Could you picture yourself standing in that window there on the corner looking out, and you'd see all this, the cars, the Harleys, the convertibles, the women, the hear the music, the bar, all that you come out here, you can see it from right there just like you can see it right here. Everything you came down here for. Could you picture yourself up there for a minute?" And I think I challenged him, but he said, "Yeah, so what?" And I said, "You know, if you're standing right there, you could look down here. You could look down, you could see us down here handing out tracts and preaching, couldn't you?" And he's getting mean. He said something vile. And I said, "This is the way it is, man. What would you think of me if I stood here and I looked up in the window and I could see you, but I could also see that the building was on fire and that it wasn't going to be very long and you were going to be burned to death. And I knew and I could warn you, but if I just stood here and what would you think of me?" He didn't say nothing then. I said, "The building's on fire, pal. We're down here to let you know that if you die in your sin, you're going to burn forever. Why were we down there at 10 o'clock at night in Coconut Grove almost getting in fights? That's not why we went. I'm not of that crowd. I used to be. We're down there because we had a burden for other people to know about our Savior. You're not going to get no points by going to the street tomorrow and handing out tracts. You're not going to get paid through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a battle. It's just not a losing one. And the last thing I want to say is this. Maybe you're in here tonight and this is Greek to you. I mean, talking about the new man and the Spirit of God and the still small voice of God and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not experiencing that struggle. The Bible says goes on with the believer. Maybe you're not experiencing that. Maybe this is why. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What I'm trying to say is this. The reason you may have never experienced the struggle that I've been talking about tonight is because there's nothing in there to struggle with. In other words, you're not saved. There's no new man. You might be a good person. You might be all that. But the bottom line is, you're still in your natural state. The problem is, if you die in that state, you'll end up in a lake of fire. The Bible says Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for that not to happen for you. And our prayer for you tonight, if you're not saved, is that you'll let one of us open the Bible and show you how you can know your sins can be forgiven. Amen. Could I say to you, the sooner the better? I mean, I waited for 3 weeks because I was worried about what my friends would think. If I would have died in those 3 weeks and I stood before God and he said, you know, I sent somebody. I sent somebody to the jail to tell you how much I loved you, what I went through to save you from what you deserved. Why didn't you act on it? Don't you think it's going to be like that? And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. At that judgment, the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Boy, what a foolish thing it would have been on my part if I gave an account to the Lord Jesus Christ for rejecting him when he gave me a chance. Because I was worried about what somebody might think. You get saved here tonight, I'll tell you what we'll think. We'll think you're pretty smart. Amen. You're in the right place. You're with the right crowd tonight. Why? Because we've been where you're at. And we're here now out of gratitude for our Savior. And if you got asked here tonight, you're a guest. Somebody cares about your soul, but not as much as Jesus does. Why don't you let one of us open the Bible and show you how much he cares? You can leave here a new man. New man, sins forgiven, eternally secure. Be the best thing that happened to you. Best thing ever happened to you, isn't it, Grace? All over this room, I could get amens on that. Whose management are you under tonight? Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. The Lord spoke to your heart. You already know what to do. Whether it's where you're at, whether it's up here, maybe you need to do some praying tonight. I know we went a little late. It's Friday night. It's the last day. We stayed out later. We watched the movies. We was on the street. 9:25 was nothing. It was just starting, maybe, to get started. But it's long for you. And you've been a great congregation as far as listening. But God had a message for you. You know, even though preaching to those of us that are saved is the power of God. Again, let me say to you, it's not magic, this thing. could I say to you that nobody's life was ever changed by preaching? People's lives are changed by what they do with preaching. As important as preaching the Word of God is, the most important part of the service is right now. It's these few minutes before we leave, before we head back out. It's what you do with the message and whatever the Holy Spirit of God may have spoken to you about. So if we endured all this and then blow these last couple minutes, the devil wins again. Now, that is unacceptable. You hear me? Head bowed and eyes closed. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you for this opportunity to preach. I thank you for your Spirit bearing witness to your word tonight. And I pray that your children would examine themselves and act on what they've heard. But Lord, my burden tonight is for that one or more that may not be saved. I pray that this would be their night. Please, Lord, may nothing interrupt your Spirit as it moves through our midst for just a couple more minutes. People respond honestly and ask themselves, whose management am I under? Bless this invitation, all that Pastor Mike says when I step out of the way. May you be pleased with us tonight. May you be pleased with us tomorrow. May we get a hold of the fact that we are created to please you. I love you, Lord. Bless these precious folks for this invitation. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed for a moment. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. And you know what? It's right for you, if you're saved here tonight, for you to respond first. If there's something right now that you want to make right with the Lord, maybe God spoke to you, some particular thing in your life, why don't you come right now? Would you do that, Christian? The Spirit of God spoke to you tonight. Wouldn't it be a blessing just to come and make it right? Wouldn't it be a blessing just to come and speak to God about it? Those of you that are saved, all right, go right ahead. Chris, you can go ahead there. Those of you that are saved, if God spoke to you tonight, what a blessing that is. The convicting power of God's Word. You had it right tonight. Right now is the most important time. What will you do with the preaching? How will you respond to what was said tonight? We'll just be hearers tonight and then just go our way. That's it. If God spoke to your heart tonight and you're a Christian, you need to talk to God about something, why don't you come right now? If things are right between you and the Lord, then you can be praying right where you are that God would have His way. Maybe there's somebody in this room tonight that needs to be saved. I bless you. That's right. Maybe there's someone in this room that needs to be saved. Would you pray for them? Amen. Let me ask you tonight, if you are here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, this is the greatest time for you to settle it with God. Right now. Right now is the best place to do it, the best time to do it. And we'll help you tonight. The room is just filled with sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Not a bunch of museum pieces, not a bunch of perfect Christians, but sinners that God saved. And we can open a Bible and just show you how you can have that too. It's God's free gift. There's no cost for that. It's free. Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross. He had to shed his blood and lay his life down so that you could have it. And I wonder, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're going to go home in a minute. But before we go, let me ask you this question, just between you and the Lord right now, honestly. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not certain, would you like to get it fixed? Would you like to get it fixed tonight? If it were really possible tonight to know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you have eternal life, why would you turn that away? Is there anyone here tonight, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but you'd say, I know I'm not saved, I need to be. Please pray for me tonight. Please pray for me tonight. I know I need to be saved. All right, okay. I'm not saved, I know I need to be. Here's my hand. Pray for me tonight. Is there anyone at all? Just slip it up and put it right back down. We just want to help you. We want to pray for you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. But we'd like to pray for you tonight. If you were invited here and you're not saved, somebody cared about you. Somebody cared an awful lot about you. Cared about you. And God cares about you tonight. Would you let him save you tonight? Do you need to be saved? Is there anyone at all? Please, well, we won't drag this out. It's time to go home. But if you know you have a need and God is speaking to your heart, would you just respond to him tonight? Is there anyone at all? Lift your hand. All right, yes, ma'am. Okay. I see that, Patty. All right, anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about promising God you're going to be a different person. He's not interested in your promises. He's interested in you realizing his promises, believing his promises, trusting his promises. He made some promises that he would save you if you would just believe on him with all your heart. If you would call on his name, he said he would wash away all your sin and make you a child of God, like he did for Grace just a couple of days ago. Is there anyone here tonight? You sure you wouldn't want to take advantage of that? You sure you don't want that? Anyone here tonight? Father, Lord, we do thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word. Thank you, Father, for that new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that new man that took up residence in our heart the day we met Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Spirit of Christ that lives within us if we're saved. And, Lord, there may be someone here tonight that's going to go home. And they may not realize, Lord, they just turned away the greatest gift that any man could ever receive. They're going to turn away something that cost Jesus Christ his life, his blood, and he shed it gladly so that they could live forever. I pray you'd help them to realize, Lord, what they're turning away. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to realize that that's the worst mistake they could ever make. Lord, would you open their eyes and would you bring them, by your grace, Lord, would you bring them to Jesus Christ? Help them, Lord, that they might be saved. Help them. Lord, it would all have been in vain. All the suffering, all the agony on Calvary, all the blood that was shed, all the preparations in eternity past, all the things that went into purchasing our salvation. And it can certainly be in vain for that one who would reject that and go his way to hell. Lord, please help them. Help them not to do that. But thank you for the blessings of this night. Thank you, Lord, for the decisions that have been made in the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, that we would let that new man and that new management control our life. Lord, help us, as the preacher said, that it won't just be something we've heard, but it'll be changes that are made in our life. It won't just be our hearts stirred, but it'll be changes in our life, changes in our behavior, changes in the things we do, the places we go, the way we dress, the way we talk. Help us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. Help us, Lord, that we'd walk in this world in such a way to bring joy to your heart, to bring a blessing to you, Lord, to bring honor to your name. help us. And thank you for what you've done. And Lord, we just commit all of this to thee, and we want to brag on you and thank you, Lord. All the good that's done is because of Jesus Christ and his grace. And we thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, we're going to be dismissed. And remember, the offering baskets that are there in the back, those are for Brother Spurgeon and his family. So please have a part in that before you go home. God bless you. We're dismissed.